with Sukkot coming very quickly upon us, now that we passed Yom Kippurim, I'd like to begin our discussion tonight by fast-forwarding to the end of Chag HaSukkot and then try to move backwards. And of course, we're going to read about the creation of man. In Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Elokim, Nase Adam. The name of man is Adam. And that's quite clear. The Medrash Rabbah gives a long discussion here about the five names of man in Tanakh. And the Medrash says the following. B'shosh ba Kodesh Baruch Hu livros es ha'adam, nimlach b'malachi ha'shoreis. That's a very difficult concept, but it's not for now. I want to emphasize the end of this Medrash. After the Malachi HaShoreis were very impressed by Adam because he was able to give a name for every creature, every species, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now tests man and he says, V'ata, and you, Mashimcha, what's your name? Amar lo, ani noeli kare Adam, shenivresi min ha'adama. My name is Adam because I was created from the Adama. Okay, from the Adama.
Oh, you talk about the plaques and you got two names again. Where's their four names?
So that man was created from the Adama and that's how he got his name, Adam. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Elio in Parshas Vayeschanan says that amongst the five names of man in Tanakh, Adam, Ben Adam, Ish, Gever, Enosh, he says the greatest maila of all the five names is the name Adam. And I would like to focus your attention on what I think is very strange here. The Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Hey, Amar Rab Yochanan, Adam, the name Adam, Aleph Dalet Mem, is Notrikon. It stands for Afer, Dam, and Mora. The Aleph of Afer, the Dalet of Dam, and the Mem of Mora form the word and the name Adam. Rashi writes, Klomar, Kulo Hevel. Man is vanities. Ulekach al Yizgoe. He has no room to be a Balgaiva. Man is basically bones and sinews and he's made of all sorts of excretions. What is man as far as Afer, Dam, and Mara is concerned? And yet, the Gaon says that of all the names of man, the greatest name is the name Adam. And it's very fascinating how he proves this. He quotes a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Hei Pasuk Chaf, and that pasuk ends by saying, Hayom Azeh Ra'inu Ki Yedaber Elokim Es HaAdam V'Chai. Man is able to hear the voice of God and he could live. Says the God, which of the names of man is being used in this pasuk? It's the name Adam. And therefore it's obvious that Adam is the greatest name of all. To you, I'm going to quote the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon writes in Aderes Elio, Nireh sheyesh chamesh madregos ba'Adam, Adam ben Adam, Ish, Gever, Enosh, v'chashuv shebemailos hu Adam. The most chashuv in Milo is the name Adam. And he goes on and quotes the pasuk that we mentioned before. But what I don't understand is the Gemara says that the name Adam, because it comes from the Adama, man is a physical being from the ground, Ofer min Adama, is indicative of his lowliness, not of his greatness. And I want to also read out one line from a longer presentation of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, And he writes, again, I'm just pulling out one line from a long presentation. Maybe we'll get back to see the rest of the Kli Yakar. But he writes, Hadama, the Adama element, Nasnabo is responsible for Chomer Avgas. It makes man very coarse and very physical. Asher Bisibaso, and because of this element of Adama, Nafal Elachet, man succumbed to sin. So not only is man's Adam indicative of his lowliness, Bal Yizgaya, but moreover, it's the Adama part of Adam which is responsible for bringing man down and causing him to sin. And yet, the Medrash Rabbah writes, Ani noali kare Adam shenivresim in Adama, man calls himself Adam because he was created from the Adama. There's some sort of paradox going on here, which I'd like to see if we can interpret. I want to call your attention to Rashi al Torah in Bereishis Perek Bet Pasuk Zayin. There, the Torah describes the creation of man afar min ha'adama. And Rashi gives two interpretations of Afar min Adama. Let me call your attention to Dover Acher, the second interpretation. Rashi says, Natal Afro mi makom shenemar bo mizbach Adama tasali. Rashi says that the Afar that was gathered together by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create man was taken from that place, from that makom, that location which is designated for Mizbach Adama Tasali. And that's a reference to the makom HaMikdash, where the Mizbeach was erected. Amar, Rashi continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Halavai Tielo Kapara V'yuchal Lamod. Somehow man's kapara is a result of the fact that his afar comes from the Makom HaMikdash. That's a fascinating concept. And if we come back to the Kli Yakar that I mentioned earlier, the Kli Yakar on the Pasuk, Lavod es Adama asher lukach misham, you remember that after Adam HaRishon sins, he is exiled from Gan Eden, and he's given the task, the responsibility of lavod es adama. Again, the word adama. But the Torah adds three words here in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and it says, Asher lukach misham. And he was taken from that adama. In other words, man is expelled from Gan Eden, but he's given a piece of land, and that's the land that he has to be careful about developing and guarding, tending it. And what is that land? Where is that land? It's the same land from which man was created. Says the Kli Yakar, that's very important. He says, Matsasi b'medras shochar tov, shekosav, she'odam harishon nisyashev, when man was exiled from the Gan Eden, where did he settle? Bahara Moriah. Adam HaRishon settled in Har Moriah. How did Chazal know that? What brought the Medrash to that conclusion? The answer is because the Gemara tells us in Chulin, on Daf Samach, that Adam HaRishon was makriv a karban. And where was he makriv it? He set up a mizbeach on Har Moriah, on the place, the location that in the future would become the Makom HaMikdash. And the Kli Yakar says that Asher Lukach Misham, that must be the Makom where Avram Avinu settled, because he was taken from that Adama and he was brought back to that Adama, Lavod es Adama. The Hainu, says the Kli Yakar, Makom Shenemar Bo Mizbach Adama Tasali. This is the area where it says Mizbach Adama Tasali. Okay. So now, the Kli Yakar says the following. He says, why is it so important that man is created from that makom, from the Adama of Har Moriah? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara mi makom kaparasa. The Adama itself, and that specific Adama from which man was created, is going to be the source of man's kapara. Because that makom from which man's offer was collected and he was created is the offer of the makom HaMikdash, where the Mizbeach is going to bring about through its karbonos a kapara for Adam's sin. My friends, I would like to interpret this Kli Yakar in the following way. On the one hand, yes, Adama is very base and very coarse, as we saw before, the Gemara in Sota, and the fact that the Adama is the element in man, which is Adam, comes from the Adama. He's Afer, he's Dam, he's Mara, he's very basic, he's very physical and very coarse. But on the other hand, Dafka, because man comes from the Adama, that's where is the potential for man to rise up and achieve tshuva and kapara. The Ramban, on the Pasuk Nasa Adam, B'tzalmenu kidmusenu, what's the language of Nasa Adam, in plural, says the Ramban, a very unique approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed the Adama, the Aretz. The Aretz was meant to produce man's body, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayipach Biapov, breathed the neshama into man's body. Says the Ramban, the creation of man was a partnership between God and the Adama. And that's the holiness of man. Man is great because he integrates both Adama and Nishmas Chaim, a chelek aloka. On the one hand, the Adama is a great challenge to man, and if it's misused, it brings man down. But on the other hand, man has the potential to bring the Adama all the way up, to elevate it, and dafka from the afar comes man's kapara through the Makom HaMikdash. This, my friends, is a reflection on the creation of man, which we're going to read about in about a week's time. I want to see if we can connect this back to the beginning of Chag HaPesach, of Chag HaSukkos, excuse me. One of the most important features of Chag HaSukkos is the Nisuch HaMayim. Ushavta Mayim B'Sason. Chazal tell us at the end of Masechet Sukkah that Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when they drew the water for the Nisuch Al Gabi Mizbeach, was the greatest Simcha. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Sukkah that although we have a mitzvah of Simcha with regard to all the mitzvahs, but Simcha, joy, has a particular role to play with regard to Beis HaShoeva, with regard to the Simcha of Sukkos in the Mikdash. And I found something absolutely fascinating about the Nisuch HaMayim, which really takes us to the creation of the world. We know that on the third day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Elokim, Yikavu HaMayim Mitachas HaShamayim El Makom Echad V'Teira'eh HaYabasha. And the Rishonim explain that on the third day, the waters which were higher up came down lower, and there was a separation between dry land and water. Rabbeinu Bechai writes in Brachos Aleph Pasuk Tes Yikavu HaMayim that the Mayim Mitachas HaShemayim Shem Gvoim, those waters from underneath the heavens, which are very high up, came down, Shafel Lamata, to a lower place. He says this is a gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hefech HaTeva. It's against the natural tendency of water. He says, Teva Amayim Lalos Lamala, water has a natural tendency of going up. The Ata Gozer Alamayim, Shememalim Eskola Olam, the Yeredu Lamata, they should come down. Now let me ask you a question. Of course, Mayim is an inanimate object, H2O, and yet, if I were to address Mayim as a personality, like we find with regard to the Eitz, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eitz Priya Eitz, Shiyah Tama Eitz Ketama, Tama Pri Ketama Eitz, Tama Eitz Ketama Pri, what would you say about the Mayim? Like if you were advocating the position of the Mayim, are you happy about the fact that you're up in Shamayim, Begova, and now you come down to the Olam HaShafel? It sounds like it's a little bit degrading. And in fact, I found something fascinating in a sefer called Yitav Lev. It's a very interesting sefer on, he talks about the Moedim, he has a piece on Sukkah, on Sukkahs. And maybe we'll get a chance to go through the entire piece, but for the time being, I want to just call your attention to one section. He quotes a Yalkut Ruveni in Parshas Vayikra. He says, Hamayim hayu bochim al shenisrachaku mishmei marom. Unbelievable. He says that the waters were not happy at all. They were crying because they were separated from Shmei Marom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the king, on the throne, on his divine throne up in Shamayim b'Shmei Marom, and now these Mayim were separated from Shamayim and they were brought down. V'nichem Hashem Osam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to console, according to this Medrash, the Mayim, and he gave them Nisuch HaMayim B'Chag. The Nisuch HaMayim of Chag is the consolation prize to the Mayim for having to go down from the higher spheres. He says, Gali Hayam, if you take a look at the waves on the sea, Misnasim, they always rise up. Sheritzonam Lashuv L'mala M'mkomam, they crave, they desire to go back to their original place. Umizei says, Yikach Adam Musar Haskel. We have to learn from the Mayim something about our ambitions, our goals. We should be inspired by the Mayim. Ech Yorad Achorones L'srachek Me'es Hashem. He says, if we have sinned, then we move far from Hashem. The Eich Yoshuv, and man should think, contemplate, how could he go back? The Yisar Nafshal Hashem Lidovek Bo, to go back to this high level of Dveikus in Hashem, in his natural state, on Hashem, and Asatavi Tahori. The Im Amayim Atachtonim Bochim, he has a Kavachomer here. If the lower waters are crying, and what are they yelling out? Anan, we, meaning the lower waters, Be'inon, we desire Lemehevi Kadamalko, we want to be close to the Melech, is certainly Yivke Ha'odom, man, Sheyeshbo Nishmas Ruach Chaim, he's got the Neshama of Hashem in him, he should certainly be Boche as a result of his Richuk, of his being distanced from Hashem through Chait. The Yisa Kalvachomer Liatzmon, he should derive this Kalvachomer. The Hide, he says, Ben Nisuch HaMayim. What's the greatness of Nisuch HaMayim? As we said before, Nisuch HaMayim is integrated with the greatest Simcha that Halacha recognizes. Because Al Yidei Nisuch HaMayim Niskarvu HaMayim El Mul Pnei Hashem. the concept of pouring the water, the libations, on the Mizbeach, is symbolic of bringing the waters, the lower waters, closer to Hashem. V'lachein dafka b'yeis nisuch hamayim, at that moment, tzarech likach musar mehem, heim bachu, they were crying because of the richuk, ad shenismala ritzonam, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nischu lefanai, mayim b'chag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you, the water, will be, in a sense, compensated because you will be used on the Chag for the highest level through Nisuch HaMayim. Ukmochein tzarech ha'adam lashuv b'tshuva me'avo misimcha lekarev atzmo Hashem. So too we should take an inspiring message to imitate the water and feel an emotional, powerful drive to come back through tshuva. And what kind of tshuva? The highest level of tshuva, tshuva mi'ava, with simcha. Simcha is integral to the mitzvah of tshuva. We're coming lifnei Hashem. And this is the message inherent in Nisuch HaMayim. Rabbosai, I would like to suggest the following. We're seeing here a pattern. The pattern starts with the creation of Adam. He himself names himself Adam, min ha'adama lukach. He was taken from the Adama. This, on the one hand, brings man down because man becomes physical, full of all the pressures of physical, biological existence. And on the other hand, his Adama is identified with the Adama of Mizbach, Adama Tasli, with the Makom HaMikdash. We're seeing a paradox here. On the one hand, within the context of creation, man is inherently low. Al Yizgah, says Rashi and Sota, because he's Adam, he's min Adam. But on the other hand, as the Gaon says, the name Adam is the highest name because man has the capacity to come closer to Hashem, almost like the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, like the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where he was created from. And in that sense, we could understand why the Gaon quotes the pasuk in Dvarim Hey that man as Adam is capable of hearing the voice of Hashem at the time the Torah is given. And I think there's a parallel here in the case of Mayim. Because on the one hand, Mayim, God created on the third day, Mayim Yardim Lamata El Hashefel, the waters go down to the lowest level. And yet on the other hand, the concept of Nisuch HaMayim, which means the ability of man through Nisuch HaMayim to rise up the waters. And this perhaps could shed a light on the whole concept of Tashlich. What is it about Tashlich that we go to the waters? The pasuk says in Micha, Tashlich l'mitzudos yam kol chatosam. This whole symbolism of connecting to the Mayim and throwing our sins, casting our sins into the water. And I think the answer might be exactly this concept, that if we take our chait and we realize that on the one hand, all those causes that brought us down and tripped us up, nevertheless, we have the potential of absolutely elevating that level of chet and doing tshuva. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah at the end of Yuma says, Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei atem mitarim umid mitarit nichveh Yisrael Hashem. Tshuva is always identified with mayim. V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim. We enter into a mikvah. The concept of mikvah means that on the one hand, the waters are crying. And why, says the Itev Lev? Because they were brought down to such a low level. But on the other hand, man has the potential, the capacity to uplift the waters, like Nisuch HaMayim, by putting them on the Mizbeach, man can become V'yosuli Migdash, V'shachanti B'sochem. That's the greatness of man. And I want to raise with you tonight a very radical question. Is there a relationship between Tisha B'Av and Sukkos? I know what you'll tell me. Rabbi, you got it all wrong here. You know, Tisha B'Av could be related to Pesach. You know, the night of Tisha B'Av coincides with the same night as Pesach. But what's it got to do with Sukkos? And I would like to suggest that if we focus on Tisha B'Av and what it's all about, and we compare it to Sukkos and what Sukkos is all about, we can come up with, I think, a fantastic presentation, a new idea as to what the relationship is between these two calendar days on the Hebrew calendar. What is Tisha B'Av? The Gemara tells us in Masech Tainis, Amar Rav Yochanan, Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph, Oso Ayom, the day that the Meraglim came back with their report about Eretz Yisrael, Erev Tisha B'Av Hoya. It was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Bechisem Bechiyah Shalchinam. You're crying, you felt, oh no, this is terrible. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Look at what's going to happen to us over there. That's called a Bechiyah Shalchinam. It's like a baby who cries for no reason sometimes, or no apparent reason. Our crying was not justified. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Koveh Lachem Bechira L'Doros. Oh, you're going to waste away with this Bechiyah because you don't trust in me. You don't rely on Hashem to do the miracles and to give you the land. I'll give you a reason to cry. That's the Bechiyah L'Doros of Tisha B'Av. And my question to you is the following. Could there be a Bechiyah on Sukkos? Bechiyah represents the most catastrophic experience perhaps in all of Jewish history. It engenders not only Tisha B'Av by his Rishon, Tisha B'Av by his Sheni, but all the catastrophes, all the exiles, all because of that Bechiyah. And the Maharal Miprag explains beautifully in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael in the 8th parak, why is it that Bechiyah creates Churban and Golos? What was so terrible at the Bechiyah of the Dar of Yotzei Mitzrayim who heard the terrible report of the Meraglim? And I'm going to present to you in my own synopsis the main points of the Maharal Miprag. He says that in the original plan, it had to be that the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the door of the Exodus and the redemption, would enter into Eretz Yisrael. Those two experiences in Jewish life, in Jewish history, were two sides of one coin, indivisible. We would leave Mitzrayim, terminate Golus, enter into Eretz Yisrael, and that same generation would establish the eternal possession of the Jewish people over Eretz Yisrael. There would never ever be a Golus. That was the original plan. The Yetziah, the Mitzrayim, the Avdus L'Cheres was a Yitziyad Nitzchit in the language of the Maharal. It was eternal. That's what we say at the beginning of the Haggadah. There will never ever be Avodim again. Ki Libnei Yisrael Avodim. And therefore, the Knisa, the entry into Eretz Yisrael, was also meant to be a Yishuv Nitzchi, Yeshiva Nitzchit, he says. It was meant to be eternal. We would never be uprooted from the land. Ach, what came and completely derailed Jewish history? Bachu Bechiyah Shalchinam Umasu B'Eretz Chemdo. That Bechiyah represents an absolute severance, a disconnect, an alienation between the Jewish nation and the land. And therefore, since they cried and they said, no, we don't want to go into the land. That's terrible for us. Is Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Yavo Dar Yotze Mitzrayim El Haaretz. It's going to be a different generation that's going to enter into the land. And if that be the case, then the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael will not be nitzchit. It's not eternal. There will be galus. We'll be in Eretz Yisrael. We'll settle there. We'll possess the land. We'll establish the Mikdash. And centuries, four centuries will go by, and then we'll go into galus. And once again, we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. And again, we'll go into galus 4 centuries later. And why is that? Says the Maharal, because it was a different generation that entered into Eretz Yisrael. Had it been the original generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, then just like the Yetzia would have been the Avdus L'Cheres Biofen Nitzchi, so too the Knesset, the Yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael would have been Biofen Nitzchi. It would have been eternal. And therefore, says the Maharal, that the original generation of Klal Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, which are the Yotzei Mitzrayim, when they were Boche Bechia Shel Chinam, Heru, they demonstrated through that crying that Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are two separate entities. That Bechia was a declaration, tragically, that we as a nation can exist independent of Eretz Yisrael. That is Golos. Again, as we emphasized in the original plan, there is no separation between the people and the land. That bond is eternal, never to be broken, it's indivisible. But once the people declared Bechia, we can do without the land of Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to have to live without the land of Israel. Umachmas Bechia Zu, says the Maharal, Nutak HaChibur, that connection between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael was disconnected. Umi Oz Nikba Shein Am Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Mechubarim Yachad LeNetzach Valkein Yotzul Golos. Why was Golos? Because that eternal bond between the nation and the land was broken. All this, says the Maharal, is inherent in that Bechia Shel Chinam when the Meraglim came and the people accepted their presentation and their testimony about the land of Israel. And tonight, I want to raise the following question with you. What is Bechia? Is that all that Bechia is about? Have we exhausted the concept of Bechia? Does Bechia begin and end with catastrophe? Does Bechia begin and end with a tragic awareness on the part of the people in this case that they can't go on, they can't enter the land, that their destiny could never be connected with the land? Or perhaps, is there a different type of Bechia? Just as we said at the outset, Adam min Adama can be converted to the highest level of Mizbach Adama, of the Makom, the holiest place on the earth. Just as we said before, that the Nisach HaMayim indicates that the waters coming down could go up again. And therefore, in a parallel way, we through tshuva could take chait and throw it into the Mayim. And that symbolizes our ability to uplift ourselves and as a Baal tshuva to come back to close relationship of Tara with HaKadosh Baruch. So too, I believe, that the concept of Bechia could go two ways. Yes, Bechia is catastrophic, but there's another concept of Bechia that's completely antithetical to the first one. And I want to demonstrate this to you in halachic terms. Halacha? What does that do with halacha? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Or HaChaim Siman Reish Pei Ches, that one is enjoined from crying on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a day of Bechir. So the Ramah writes, Umi sheyesh lo oneg im yivke, kidei sheyelech hatzar mi libo, a man is in anguish, he's suffering, he's in pain, he needs to cry to alleviate the pain. Says the Ramah, Muta Livkos B'Shabbos, that itself is considered Oneg, Yeshlo Oneg. And the Taz The super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, after quoting the Ramah, he says, you know what? I'm going to tell you what the source of the Ramah is. Where did the Ramah get this from? And he quotes the Agadata, Shematzu Talmidav Shal Rabbi Akiva, Es Rabbi Akiva Shayim Bocha B'Shabbos. The Medrash testifies to the fact that the students of Rabbi Akiva encountered Rabbi Akiva on Shabbos and he was crying. So you see that Bechi on Shabbos, V'Omar, and when the Talmidim asked him about it, he answered, Oneg Eishli. I have Oneg by crying. This is my Oneg. You do your thing, I do mine. V'Nirali, says the Taz. The Ramah is misinterpreting the story of Rabbi Akiva. Hainu, what's the story of Rabbi Akiva? Shemi roved Vekuso Vakodesh Baruch Hu, because of his incredible, intense closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was clinging, he was dubbing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zolgu ein of dmos. Rabosai, a whole other concept of Bechia. Bechia not because of Richuk, of being distanced from Hashem, not believing in God, not relying on Hashem, but on the contrary, a Bechia mitoch dvekus. Shekein matzinu Rabbi Akiva, Shaya, he quotes the Zohar, Shaya Bocha Miod Biomro Shir Ashirim, Kasha Yoda Heichan Advar Magim. Rabbi Akiva, the great giant, understood on a deeper level what Shir Ashirim is all about. The love relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the Dod. And Rabbi Akiva was so overwhelmed when he recited Shir Ashirim, the greatest of songs, that he burst out in tears. That's the Bechi of Dvekus. V'chein matzui, again, Rabosai, the word matzui here is very difficult for me. But the Taz lived almost 4 centuries ago, 3.5 centuries. The Taz claims it was common in his time, shekshemispalim b'kavana, when people have the absolute devotion and intention of tefillah, they burst out in tears. And that's the tzar. Excuse me, that's the bechia that is permissible on Shabbos. Aval HaRamah, he says, but the Ramah mentions Sheyotze Tzar, who Tamu, I can't accept the Ramah's interpretation. Dimkein kol shemisha mitztayr chas v'shom yivke v'shabbos. You know, everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to say, you know, I'm having a rough period of time, you know, things are not going well, and I need to cry. No, so forget it, then there's no halacha that you can't cry. You know, basically the whole thing is meaningless. Says the Taz, oh no, no, no. We're not talking about a Bechia of Tzar, or even to alleviate Tzar. We're talking about a Bechia of Dvekus. Bechia mitoch Dvekus. Rabosai, I have to admit to you that I don't experience this Bechia of Dvekus, certainly not on a regular basis. I don't know if you do, please tell me if you do, and I will stand in awe of you. But I do remember one experience that I had, and all you need is one, where I actually had a Bechia Shel Dvekus, and that's when I went on a tour of the Kotel tunnels. And at some point, the guide said to us, you are now looking at the Kodesh Kedoshim, you know, if you would go beyond the wall, and we recited Tehillim. And I remember I just had a sense of Dvekus, and I started crying. It was overwhelming. I don't know if anyone can share such an experience, that they had such an experience, but it is possible. And if this be the case, my friends, then perhaps we could talk about the Simcha of Chag HaSukkos and the Nisuch HaMayim in terms of a kind of a crying. After all, we just experienced Yom HaKippurim. Hopefully we were all successful. We achieved a level of tshuva that engendered slicha and kapara. And we're now in a state of simcha. It's a simcha shel tahara. Our joy is incredible because of the tahara. And tahara is always connected to mayim. And that simcha reaches its apex at the moment of Nisuch HaMayim. I just want to take a break for a moment for any questions. So the Midrash Rabbah in Breishis Parsha Yud Zayin, paragraph Dalet, says, Ani Nali Kare Adam Shenivresi Min Adam. If that's the Midrash you're looking for. Chacham Daniel says that the Rabbeinu Bachai on Sukkot seems to somehow say something that's against Zman Simchatenu. I'm not exactly sure what you mean, unless he's talking about Bechia of Simcha, of Tzomah Nafshi Lelokim, perhaps. So we'll believe neither. If you send me exactly where Rabbeinu Bachai is, if it's Parshas Emor, and we'll look for that. Okay. I want to just add just a few things before we have to end the shiur, and I know we're running out of time, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph tells us that they used to recite a specific capital of Tehillim on each day of the week. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva, what did they say on the first day of the week? Yom Rishon, L'Hashem Haaretz U'Meloah, Al Shem Shekana V'Hikna V'Sholit Ba'Olamo. What did they say on the second day? Gadol Hashem U'Lul Miod. And B'Shlishi Ha'omer Melekim Nitzav V'Adas Kel. Al Shem Shegila La'aretz Chachmasa. Very interesting. There's some sort of Gilui to the Aretz, to the land itself, to physicality of the Chachma of Hashem. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Vateroa b'yabosha b'shlishi nemar, that the abosha, the dry land, became apparent on the third day. And I looked in the Marsha. He tries to embellish the words of Rashi, and he says, Shahamishpat hu kiyumo shel olam. The concept of justice came into existence on the third day. And I was thinking, he doesn't explain what this justice is all about, but perhaps we could say that Hashem here is separating between the Aretz, which is now called the Abasha, and the Yamim. Now the word Yabasha obviously comes from the word Yavesh, dry, which is antithetical to Mayim, to the waters on the earth. And I find something also similar with the word Cherev. The word Cherev, a sword, comes from the word Chareva. Chareva is also something desolate and dry. And that's the source of the word Churban, of destruction. So in the light of everything we've been saying tonight about Adam and about the Mayim and about the Koach HaTshuva and about Bechia, that everything goes Zelum Atzen, both directions, perhaps we could say that the concept of Churban, which is the Bechia Shel Doros of Tisha B'Av, is antithetical to Sukkos. Why? Because Sukkos is the day that we take the Lulav. Why is it so important that we take the lulav? Chazal tell us that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in the days of Mishpat, we're not sure exactly what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. According to one version in the Medrash, and again, B'li Neder, I'll quote to you the Medrash and tell you where to find it. The Mishpat is between Yaakov and Esav, between our nation and the other nations. According to another version in the Medrash, it's between the Kategar and Klal Yisrael. But whatever it is, Sukkot represents the day of Nitzachon, of triumph in that Mishpat, in that difficult war. And I think that Chazal, when they say that when Klal Yisrael go out with their Lulavim, and they wave the Lulav, and the Kapos Tmara becomes a symbol of victory, I think what's happening here is that we are really like the soldiers of old waving the sword. This is our sword. The Lulav is our Klei Zayin against the Umas Olam. Because the Lulav represents Ritzui Takodesh Baruch Hu. For example, again, we don't have time now, but the Ritva in Chidusha Ritva on Sukkot Daf Tes says that the reason why mitzvah baba vera applies to lulav is because lulav has the power of ritzui. Ritzui means it brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't do that with a stolen lulav. The lulav represents our success after all the days of judgment of Mishpat. In a sense, the lulav is the opposite of churban. Churban milashon cherev, but it's our cherev of success, of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I want to take this opportunity to, again, to thank everyone for coming and to wish and pray that we've, in Yirtzeh Hashem, when we take the lulav, we'll see the symbol of our success, but that we've all been successful, both on an individual level and certainly collectively in terms of Klal Yisrael, that we should take the message of the Nisach HaMayim to heart, and be inspired by the fact that the Mayim were given the consolation of Nisuch, which allows the Mayim to come closer to Hashem. The waters have this natural tendency, the waves, to reestablish the original relationship that they had when they were close to the Melech Malchim Lachim. We too have to be inspired to come close to the Melech Malchim Lachim. And perhaps we could say, as Chacham Daniel points out, that everything that we do during these days of Sukkot, whether it's the Hakafot, whether it's the Torah that we celebrate with on Shmini Atzeret, all this is meant to protect us against Churban. This is our Cherev, this is our Simcha of success, and the essence of that Simcha is Lifnei Hashem, just like the waters desire to become Lifnei Hashem, we crave to become Lifnei Hashem, and just like the Adam, despite the fact that he is made up of such lowly elements, but he can come so high. And I want to point out to you as we close that the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that the name Adam is Ani, the Aleph, Dimisich, I compared you, Malach, the Mem of Adam is to a Malach, that's in Chagiga Daf Tes Zayin. So that counterbalances the Adam of Sota Daf Hei, of Efer Dam Umara. We should be zochet to be uplifted, to come closer to Shamayim, to be like the Malachim,